great to be here in LA, and it's great to be here. And I want to thank you all for getting up so early in the morning to come and spend an hour with me to learn about what we believe to be a very, very exciting concept in not just natural speech input, but also in what I would term as natural speech output. What I want to do this morning is give you a little bit of history about how we got to where we are right now, and then introduce two products to you. One is called JSay Standard, the other is JSay Pro, and I'll, as we walk through the next hour or so, describe the differences between the two products and the different focus and client groups who the two products may be able to address. So, we're TNC Consultancy Limited. We're based in Stoke-on-Trent in the UK, and the company's inception was around 5 years ago. And prior to that, I'd worked in the visual impairment industry for 10 or so years with Sensory Systems, who were a sister company of Telesensory over here. And when I set up on my own, I wanted to be able to do two things. First of all, I wanted to be able to provide a range of non-product specific services to people in the UK. But it also struck me that there was a whole bunch of people out there who needed to be able to use the computer, but just couldn't, because they were visually impaired, but they were also keyboard impaired. And so we started looking 5 years ago at technologies that would enable people who were visually impaired and who had additional disabilities that prevents them from using the keyboard to be able to take advantage of the kind of access to Windows that keyboard-able visually impaired people were beginning to benefit from. So for the past 5 years, we've been resellers of Jawbone, and indeed we still are resellers of Jawbone. We're the sole UK distributor of Jawbone in the UK. And Jawbone was great because it addressed the needs of people who had absolutely no keyboard ability at all. But I would suggest that where Jawbone didn't do so well is for visually impaired people who did have keyboard ability, but actually wanted to use their voice as an additional means of input and control. So the more we got into this, the more apparent it became to me that there was this massive group of people out there who were visually impaired, but who wanted to do what sighted people could do with Dragon Naturally Speaking Preferred. So that's to say that they weren't particularly bothered about having all sorts of whiz-bang control over the computer using their voice, but instead what they wanted to do was really just create text. Because I would suggest that for us as visually impaired people, the creation of text using our voice is a very, very natural thing. It's something that we do all the time, whether we're studying, whether we're working, whatever we're doing. And so to be able to give a visually impaired person that ability with the computer seemed to me to be a tremendous thing to be able to do. And so about a year ago now, a colleague of mine and myself developed this concept of JSay Standard. Now, we had to make a decision about which screen reader to use, but really there was no decision to make. The great thing about JAWS is its scripting power. You see, our interface to Dragon Naturally Speaking Preferred, our JSay Standard interface, is 99% JAWS script-based. And because of the intelligence of JAWS, because of the advanced screen monitoring capability of JAWS, it's the ideal screen reader to use. We looked at other screen readers, and indeed we still are looking at other screen readers to be able to provide similar facilities. But right now, no other screen reader gives us the ability and the technology to script things as we need to, from taking, if you like, a one-ended approach, i.e. scripting it purely from the screen reader end. So JAWS was the only product that we could use, and indeed, it's lent itself absolutely fantastically to the concept of JSay Standard. So let's talk about JSay Standard. What is it? What does it do? Well, with JSay Standard, as part of the package, you get the JSay Standard interface, which is embraced within an install shield. You get Dragon Naturally Speaking Preferred as part of the package. You get the JSay authorization disk, and the way that we copyright and protect JSay is by hooking it into your JAWS serial number. So if you tried to use your copy of JSay with a version of JAWS that had a different serial number than your JSay was authorized, basically it would just every 30 seconds tell you that you weren't authorized to use it. That's JAWS being clever. That's because using a clever bit of Jaws scripting, we can basically make Jaws keep checking for the serial number. And if there's a serial number mismatch, then basically we won't let JSEG work. Obviously, you also get a microphone, and you also get manuals which present the JSEG interface as a single product. Okay, so we're not saying, okay, you've got to learn Dragon naturally speaking, and then you've got to learn Jaws, and then you've got to learn JSEG. What we're doing is we're presenting the product as a single interface. And so you have manuals in print, in braille, electronically on disc, and also in audio on tone index cassette. And finally, as part of the package, you get the tutorial, which basically takes you beyond the manual and interactively walks you through some of the great things that JSEG lets you do in our three primary supported applications, which are Microsoft Word, Microsoft Outlook, and Internet Explorer. But of course, before you do anything, you've got to install the damn thing. And the manual walks you through this step by step, and the routine basically is that you install Dragon Naturally Speaking Preferred first. Then you install the JSEG authorization, then you install JSEG. And having installed JSEG, you then run Dragon for the first time. And here's where we introduce one of the central concepts of JSEG, which is the concept of the JSEG key. So we take ownership of, just like Jaws takes ownership of the insert key on the numpad, we take ownership of a key on the keyboard, which is the grave accent key. If that's the wrong terminology, I mean the key. All right, it's the key immediately beneath the escape key. So the key to the left of numeral one. Right, so when you first run Dragon Naturally Speaking Preferred, the JSEG key provides you with step-by-step interaction with the training process. And so basically, every time you press the JSEG key on a particular control or in a particular dialog box, the JSEG key will tell you exactly what you need to do in that specific dialog box. Don't get too excited because it gets cleverer. No. Now, part of the process of getting Dragon to recognize your voice is to train Dragon Naturally Speaking, which involves you reading text into the microphone for about 10 minutes. Now, Dragon is listening for two things during that process. The first thing it's listening to is how you pronounce words, obviously. But the second thing it's listening to is how you intonate words. It's listening to your expression. It's listening to what you do with your voice when commas and full stops occur. Not because it's going to put those in automatically for you necessarily, but because one of the crucial aspects of getting an effective voice profile is Dragon actually recognising not just what you say, but how you say it. And so with the JSEG key, the way we interact with that training dialogue is in a punctuation sensitive way. So we're monitoring for full stops, and we're monitoring for commas. Previous products, competitive products, just use a monosyllabic, bah, 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 bah kind of voice to read the stuff out. But what we do is we look for commas and we look for full stops, and we present memorable 6 or 7 word chunks of text, but if it's a comma or a full stop there, we stop at that point to enable you to correctly intonate that punctuation. Once you've done the training, you then have to interact with a really, really complicated multi-page dialog box. When you've actually got Dragon trained, you then end up in a multi-page dialog box where you have to actually set Dragon up in a particular way to interact with JSEG. So,
select the system tray icon, turn microphone on, enter menu.
So let's just get right here.
Oh, limit menus.
Oh, this.
Options dialog, correction.
Right. What I brought up on the screen here is the multi-page dialog box that you get when you first configure Dragon Naturally Speaking. Now, in the manual, we walk you through step-by-step how each control in this 6 or 7 tab sheet based dialog box has to be set. But that's all well and good, but the only trouble is that you know, inevitably people read the manual and then they get talking to somebody and then they set a control wrong and then it all goes wrong. So, what we've done is by using the JSEG key, we give people control specific information. So, right now we're on a checkbox. And I don't know what to do with this checkbox, so I press the JSEG key.
Make sure this checkbox is not checked.
I tab to the next one.
Tab, correction, correct, command, bring up spell dialog box, checkbox checked.
And I press the JSAY key.
Make sure this checkbox is checked.
So we've been very, very controlled and specific. Now, as well as having checkbox in this multi-page, checkbox in this multi-page dialog box, we also have combo boxes.
Tab, correction, archives on, tab, correction, show no more.
Okay, minutes. Right. So this is a combo box. Excuse me, title.
Correction, show no more than edit spin box. Three.
Okay.
Right. So this is a correction. This is how many choices are going to be displayed in the correction box, okay? Now, it's set to three, and I don't know if that's the right value or not, so I press the JSAY key.
Press the up arrow 6 times to reach the value of 9.
Yeah?
Cool.
So all the time, we're monitoring the control that you're on. And by pressing the JSAY key, we're then giving very specific information about how that specific control needs to be set in order to function effectively with JSAY.
What if it happens to be on 4? Will it say 5 times?
4. Press the up arrow 5 times.
Okay.
Pass the test.
Anybody want to test any other numbers?
Let's go to 9.
Okay.
Yeah. 8. 9. This is the correct value.
Yeah.
you can see a tremendous amount of thought has gone into, you know, making sure that people can really set this thing up as independently as possible. Because, I mean, that's the other crucial thing, you know. As a blind person, I get sick and tired and fed up of getting a new mobile phone through the post, not knowing what the hell to do with it, or getting a DVD through the post and having to have somebody sit on my knee for 5 hours and read the manual to me. And, you know, when we buy mainstream technology, we have to put up with that. But folks, when we buy assistive technology, it's our responsibility as assistive technology creators and designers to make sure, just like yours does, just like Freedom Scientific do with their product, to make sure that that product is as usable from an out-of-the-box perspective as possible for somebody who has no vision, or indeed for the client group towards who the product is focused. And, you know, we've learned a lot of lessons from watching how Jaws, and watching how Open Book, and watching how Pac-Mate, and indeed, going right back to the early days, watching how products like VersaBraille were packaged. You know, VersaBraille in the early days came with an absolutely fantastic tutorial. That I would suggest is one of the best tutorials I've ever seen. And, you know, I was a kid when I had VersaBraille. I taught myself to use that without any help from anybody. Over the years, we've learned a lot of good lessons, and we've learned a lot of lessons from assistive technology vendors getting it wrong as well. You know, how many products you buy and you don't get a Braille quick reference guide and you don't get a Braille manual? Well, come on, if you're blind, you know, that's what you need. You need Braille, arguably. So, anyway, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to learn the good and the bad from watching other people do it. And I'm not saying we've got it 100% right, but what I can promise you is if we only got it 90% right, we want to hear about the 10%, and we'll fix it eventually. Anyway, let's just get out of here.
Okay, but space, Jaws.
I've come out of that control box now, that multi-page dialog box now, and I'm back in the Jaws window. So once you set all that stuff up, one of the things that you set up in that is you have the microphone on asleep at startup. So when Dragon Naturally Speaking starts, the microphone is in what I would term as passive mode. So there are two modes that the microphone can be in, passive and active. And the reason we set it up like that is so that you can then have total control of your microphone using your voice. And so, the next thing you want to know is the condition of the microphone. Well, we have a phonetically linked key that gives you that information. On the desktop keyboard, if we press Control Windows M,
microphone off.
And you'll notice too that it was a female voice that said microphone off. What we're trying to do here is to give blind people the same kind of information in the same context as sighted people receive it. So that message that you just heard is a Dragon message. And so logically enough, you use the Jaws Tutor and message voice to deliver it. Yeah? So again, all the time, we're monitoring the context of how things appear. The way we do that, actually, we monitor the color of the text on the Dragon bar. And if it's a particular colour that corresponds to the message colour, then we basically feed that message, the information back using the Jaws message voice. So, good logical key there, M for microphone. And again, a lot of the time in JSAY, with JSAY standard, we're using the control Windows key combination, because that's a key combination that hardly anything else uses. I haven't come across anything else that does use it, actually. All right, so the next thing we want to do is we want to dictate some text. So keep in mind, this is a keyboard and voice-based interface, okay? So using the keyboard, I'm going to start Microsoft Word.
Start menu with W, or enter, leaving menus. Document 1, Microsoft Word, edit.
Okay, so we're now in Word. I have here a headset microphone. This is the microphone that in the UK we supply as standard with JSA. I'll come on to the US distribution in a second. Well, in a while. All right, so I put the microphone on my head, position it correctly.
Could a person conceivably use the voice command to start Word, however?
Yes, you could.
Okay.
You could, but what I'm trying to show you here is that the concept of JSA standard is that you share your input and control between your voice and between the other things that are open to you. So yes, of course you could do that, because that's the Dragon command, and that would work absolutely fine. When I come to JSA Professional, which is about no keyboard ability whatsoever, we'll talk about some of that sort of stuff. But
okay.
anything that you can do, we'll happen to do questions at the end. Anything you can do with Dragon Preferred, pretty much, you can do, and you'll get sensible feedback from Jaws. Okay, so here's the bit where everybody laughs, because it never recognizes what you say in this situation. But anyway, what the hell, let's have a laugh. Let's see what it does today. It was terrible yesterday, wasn't it, Eric? Didn't recognize a thing I said yesterday. All right.
Air conditioning fan, maybe it'll be better today.
What I want to do, first of all, is remember the condition of my microphone right now.
Microphone off.
Okay. So I want to make the microphone come into active rather than passive mode, and then I want to dictate a little bit of text. So I'm going to use a Dragon command, and when I use the Dragon command, the first thing you'll notice, as long as it works, is that Jaws will play a sound, which we do through the speech and sound manager, to indicate that the microphone has changed condition. And once that sound's played, I'll then do some dictation. Listen to me. Today is Friday, comma. Echo on.
Echo on.
Speak line.
Speak line. Today, Friday.
And I am talking to my computer using a natural voice, full stop.
And I'm talking to my computer using natural voice, full stop.
In situations such as demonstrations, comma, presentations, etc.
Presentations, etc.
The system never behaves how you want it to, full stop.
The system never behaves how you want it to, full stop.
Stop listening.
Stop listening.
Okay, I stopped it from listening because you laughed, and because this is a microphone we're using, and if you laugh, what's the microphone going to do?
Pick it up.
Pick it up.
Got
it.
Involved. Exactly.
You just highlight it and make it 30 points?
Questions at the end.
So we can see what it says.
Sure. Sure, no problem at all.
Also, highlight. Menu bar, font, enter, leaving menus, document 1, tag, font, size, and tag, yeah. Size, edit, comma, 11.
Yeah.
48.
That's fine, 48 words, right?
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Now then, of course, it made some mistakes there, which you would expect. If you were just starting to use Dragon, you'd certainly expect it to make mistakes. And one of the most important things that we had to do with JSA Standard is to provide interaction with the correction dialog box. Now, for those of you who don't know what the correction dialog box is, it's effective use of Dragon's correction tool that will have a significant impact on improving the level of recognition that you get from Dragon. I would suggest that when you first do your induction with Dragon and your voice enrollment, you're expecting, with the right specification of computer, sound card, etc., to get 80-85% recognition. But by effective interaction with Dragon's correction system, you can actually make significant improvements on that very, very quickly indeed. So, I'm going to use the keyboard, and I'm going to find a word that I want to correct, okay? So I'm going to use this just using a standard Windows command to navigate through.
The period. The wanted. You. So. Behave. So.
Okay. So that's a behave so, and I want so to be how. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to launch the correction system. Listen to me. Correct so.
So. I do not understand.
Correct so.
understand. So.
Correct that.
Select.
Correct that.
So. Correct that. So.
The correction box is active.
Stop listening. Stop listening.
Shift F11.
Okay, so I'll have to switch the microphone off manually if it's messing about here. But okay, we've now, and again, that, this is just to do with acoustic environments and electrostatic interference and all that stuff. And it really doesn't matter, because what I'm not after proving to you here is that in this particular situation, Dragon is going to behave 100%, because the point of this demonstration is really to talk about the interface. So we've now activated the correction box, and we know the correction box is active because the Jaws message voice said, correction box active. And so what we have right here now, for those of you who can't see, is we have a vertical list of 9 choices, which Dragon thinks the word so could be. Now, we need with JSEG to be able to interact with these choices now and find out what they are. And so what do we press? We press the JSEG key.
Use the arrow keys to browse the list, so.
One of 9.
So Jules said, use the arrow keys to browse the list, so 1 of 9. And for those of you who know a little bit about Jaws, all we've done here is by pressing the JSEG key, we've pumped the text of the correction box into the Jaws virtual viewer. Okay? So I can now use the down arrow key and listen to the possibilities that Dragon considers that word could be.
South.
2 of 9.
South.
3 of 9.
South.
4 of 9.
South.
5 of 9.
Etc, etc, etc. And again, because this is a Jaws-based interface, and because it's our client group are Jaws users who know Jaws or will know Jaws keyboard commands, you can obviously use either your Jaws cursor or your insert up arrow to have any of those choices spelled out to you. When you've found the choice you want, if it exists, you can either press the enter key or you can say choose followed by whatever the number is. And that word will then be put into your document, and off you go and continue your dictation. So interaction with that correction dialog box is absolutely crucial. And again, what we don't want to happen is a whole load of speech going on. We don't want to be presenting the user with loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of speech output. We just want to make everything simple, quick, easy, and with JSEG standard, we want to lean on already existing Jaws commands, because there's no point in reinventing the wheel when Jaws does it perfectly well anyway. Dictation in Word is just the same as dictation in Outlook and indeed as text input with Internet Explorer. Now, one of the other really important concepts about JSEG Standard, and indeed JSEG Pro, and as you'll see when we come to Pro, Pro is just a whole lot of other stuff overlaid onto the basic concepts that JSEG Standard has. One of the other most important things is online help. And I believe that with JSEG we have come up with a really, really interactive way of providing users with help at the level that they feel comfortable with. So there are 3 different types of help that you can get from JSEG. At any point you can press the JSEG key, and if you're in a supported application, you'll get a list of specific JSEG commands relative to that supported application. And if you're not in a supported application, or just on the desktop or in the Jaws window or whatever, and you press the JSEG key, you'll get some general JSEG commands that you can use absolutely anywhere within your Windows operating system. But the most exciting thing about help is the JSEG interactive help system. So, if on the keyboard I press Control, Shift, and H, listen to what happens.
JSEG help phrase dialog, please enter your question.
Okay, and that's on the screen as well. So I'm now in the JSEG help thing. I can dictate text or I can type it in. So if I type in, for example,
how do I create
email, okay, and I press enter, listen what happens.
JAWS. Plenty of help exists to provide you with support if you would like to open, create, reply to or forward email messages, or if you would like to create contacts in your address book. Use the JSA key to get a list of commands which can be used within your email client. You can also refer to the sections of this help system relating to opening messages, creating a new message, moving through messages, creating address book contacts and replying to messages,
etc, etc, etc. So, now the other thing again, it's on the screen. Because, you know, okay, it's fine providing visually impaired people with the ability to do stuff on their own, but of course the reality of it is that a lot of the time they're doing stuff with sighted people. And, you know, JAWS can say anything you like, but if the sighted person is helping the blind person doesn't understand what JAWS is saying, well, they might as well go and make a cup of tea. So what we try to do is to make the JSA help system interactable by somebody who can't see and somebody who can. And so again, we're using the JAWS virtual viewer here. So I can up and down arrow through all this stuff.
Next, link, use the term, get command index, use the term, link contacts and reply into messages.
Up arrow.
You can also refer to the sections
down
of
arrow.
Contacts and reply into messages.
And if I want to come out,
escape.
Now, this help system is not question specific. So I could have just typed in anything with the word email in there. And when you press enter, or if you do it with your voice, you say click OK, what happens is basically, excuse me, that JAWS goes off and searches the help database for words or phrases which are within what you typed, which correspond to what is in its help database, and then comes back with an answer relative to what you've put in. And whilst out of the box the help system is pretty good, the other great thing is that for people who are trainers in assistive technology, who are going out there teaching people to use this stuff. All the time, I as a trainer come across situations where someone needs specific help with a specific thing. They just, whatever you do, they just can't get their head around the specific thing. And so what you can do, the help system is contained in a text file. So basically you can add to that text file if you want to or you need to. So as well as having that help system with general phrases in, you can also make that help system as bespoke as you need to suit the individual needs of a particular client.
I like it.
So I would suggest that help system is incredibly powerful. And I would suggest that help system really, really, really puts the user in control, no matter what their level of computer expertise may be. Okay, so also with JSA Standard, we've provided a little front end to a couple of things which people could find quite difficult. One of those is adding a contact to the address book. So within Outlook, you can press a keystroke, and I'm not going to show it to you now, I'm going to show it with the JSA Pro, because I'm going to do it with my voice for you. But basically, with Outlook, you can press Control Windows Comma, and then you get taken into a little form. And what you do is you can basically, in three steps, add someone's name and email address to your contacts. You answer the three questions the system asks you. After answering each question, you press the enter key, and then basically that address to a person and their email address gets stored in your contacts. I mean, that's handy for JSA Standard, but it's particularly important for JSA Pro, because if you can't use the keyboard at all, navigating the Outlook address book is just a nightmare. How many times do you have to say press tab before you get to the end of the thing? That, in a nutshell, I mean, there's a lot more to JSA Standard. You can do things like set bookmarks on web pages. You can do a whole lot more. But that's the concept of JSA Standard. It's a shared interface between the voice and the keyboard. So we're not taking away the keyboard. You do whatever you want with the keyboard. And when you switch the microphone into passive mode, you get no degradation in response time or anything. Basically, somebody on a list the other day wrote that JSA was seamless. They said, you turn it on and you do what you want with your voice, and then you switch the microphone off and it might as well not be there. Which is fantastic, because that's what it's supposed to be. As a blind person, what I use JSA for, is like, for example, I create notes for training reports on my Braille light. And they're only notes, they're not the report itself. So what I do is I sit with my Braille light on my knee, the computer on the desk, and then I don't have to take my hands off my Braille notes. I can create my document based on my Braille notes using my voice. So, you know, for me, and I would suggest for lots and lots and lots of keyboard-able, visually-impaired people, we can really benefit from the power of voice recognition with speech output. But obviously, what we don't want to do is spend money on an interface that we're not going to use three quarters of. But there are a lot of people out there who, for whatever reason, can't use the keyboard or don't want to use the keyboard or can only manage to use, you know, a couple of keys on the keyboard. And when we designed JSA Standard, we never intended to design JSA Pro. It was never part of the picture, really. But as we developed the dual script side of it more and more, it became really apparent to us that we could do some amazing things by paralleling and tying up and overlaying some clever Dragon scripting with some clever Jaws scripting. And we believe that we can do things with JSA Pro that no other technology can do right now. And I'm going to show you what some of those things are. And they're very, very simple. They're not rocket science. They're about natural human interaction. They're about accepting the concept that people don't want to talk to a computer like a computer and don't want to have the computer giving them techno-babble back. What they want back, much of the time, is vocabulary that they can relate to. And so Scansoft go on about having a naturally speech-based interface, and that's cool, that's fantastic. But to make it work for somebody who's keyboard disabled and visually impaired, you've got to make the natural speech work at the other end too. So you've got to put natural speech in, and you want natural speech back. You don't want natural speech in and techno babble back.
Absolutely.
Okay? And I believe that's what we've done here. Now, just let me see what's going on here. Because
select the curved microphone knob. Enter context menu, curved microphone knob. Enter limit menus, JAWS.
Stop listening. I now am going to start up a program using my voice. And then I'm going to show you what I believe to be two incredible concepts. So just cross your fingers for me, will you? This is going to work. All right. Listen to me. Click Start menu.
Start menu, Windows Update,
Programs.
Programs, submenu, Programs.
Microsoft Outlook.
Limit menus, Start button, Microsoft Outlook, Microsoft R Outlook R2000, Reply to, Brian Argent, JSA presentation, Fry 19032, Context menu, Undo Control Z unavailable, Edit, Undo unavailable, Control Z.
Stop listening.
I do not understand.
Stop listening.
I do not understand.
Stop listening.
Stop listening.
Right. Now, let me explain that I do not understand. Let me explain that I do not understand thing. Bear with me on this, folks, because it's important. Let me explain this I do not understand thing. When Dragon doesn't know what you said, what it does is in its results box, and that's a little box that appears, you can put it wherever you want, but by default at the top of the screen, it puts three question marks in the box. And other technologies in the past, when that stuff's appeared in the box, go less than ? ? And what's all that about? And the problem as well is that if you have punctuation set to none, what do you get? Exactly. So what we've done is we've made JAWS, when it sees those three question marks appear in the results box, give you the message in the JAWS message voice, I do not understand. And that is about natural language. That is about natural input and natural output. All right, so we're in, and I also tried that to demonstrate the be quiet command, which is the same as pressing the control key. But because we've got the speakers on reasonably loud, obviously the microphone's hearing other stuff as well. But the be quiet command, and we're gonna probably change that in the US to something that you guys like, because apparently you don't like be quiet over here. If you're training somebody using this technology, it's quite easy to adapt that command to suit the individual. I mean, a great example is, in our country we say shush, right? Mm-hmm. And I had a guy once, and he didn't want to say stop. He was using Jawbone. He didn't want to say stop talking. He didn't want to say shut up. He wanted to say shush. We had a hell of a job getting dragons to recognize shush. It was putting push and mush and all kinds of stuff. But once we did that, then that was fine. So we just changed the command. Back to the concept of natural voice input, natural voice output, folks, because that's where we were when we were talking about I do not understand. Now, I've been talking away here, and I've forgotten where I am. Now, if you're a keyboard user and a JAWS user, it's fine. You can press your insert T or whatever you like, and you can get information about the application you're in. But I would suggest to you that for people who are multiply disabled, who, for example, are using a lot of drugs to keep pain at bay and all kinds of stuff like that, their ability to interact with environments is very, very different than somebody who is purely visually impaired, keyboard able, and is okay in every other respect. And they need constant reminders about contextual information, and they need to be able to get those reminders using their voice. Let me show you something that I believe is so simple, but very, very revolutionary in this technology. Listen to me. Where am I?
Where am I? You are in the index of messages in the Microsoft Outlook mailbox entitled Inbox.
What can I do?
What can I do to navigate through the index of messages? Use the term move up one and move down one to open a message, say open message, to close a message, say close message, to delete the message, say delete message.
Stop listening.
Stop listening.
Very cool.
Now, yeah, but it's more than cool, isn't it? It's
oh, yeah.
For somebody yeah. We have clients who, one guy I can think of particularly, he's got really, really advanced MS. And he's on like so many drugs to control the pain and to help him, etc., etc., etc. Now, he'll be dictating text into a message, and suddenly, you know, his brain just says, and he needs that information because he forgets where he is. Mm-hmm. And I'm not criticizing Jawbone. Jawbone is a great technology, okay? And much of what we've done here, we've done from the lessons that we've learned by applying Jawbone to a variety of situations, all right? So I'm not saying that Jawbone is bad, because it's not. Jawbone's a great piece of technology. But the problem was with this guy, he was using Jawbone. The only way, apart from using the say line command, you get information, was by using the say window title command. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a speak window title command, and that's fine if that's what people want to do. But I would suggest to you the window title is precious little help if you're totally confused about not just where you are, but what you want to do.
Sure. Right.
And so the two most natural things in the world to say are, where am I and what can I do? We've taken that concept right through the interface. So if, for example, hang on, what's this message here?
Reply to Brian Archer, JSA presentation, 5-19-03-2004-202.
I don't think there's anything wrong with this one. But you never know.
Reply to Brian Archer, FU comments,
5-19-03-2004-202.
Brian
Archer. Now, I could have used the command open message. So, in as you just heard there, with Outlook, we have, again, a range of natural language commands that enable you to control the navigation of your inbox. So you can say next message, previous message, open message, delete message, and there's nothing clever there, they're just dragon commands. But what we've done is by default, those dragon commands don't manipulate the focus properly. And so we've had to change a bit of the focus control within JAWS so that when you use those commands, the right things happen. Now, I'm in a message, okay, and again, I've forgotten that. So, listen to me. Where am I?
Mike.
Where am I?
Where am I? You are in the body of an email message entitled 3J.
What can I do?
What can I do to move through this message which you have received? You can use any of your standard navigation commands. Good examples of navigation commands
would be
move right one word, move left one word,
Stop listening.
Stop listening.
Okay. So, do you get this, folks, that we've gone right down the way here with this where am I and what can I do? And even on the internet, we
escape
have, let me bring up for you right
alt
here,
four, job.
A web page, an offline web page.
R, limit, D, enter, local disk, R, R, N, I, enter.
This is a web page that consists of all
page
sorts of different stuff.
R, N, I,
okay. Now, on the internet, We have lots and lots of voice-based commands that enable you to navigate through this using your voice. So for example, we have a command called skip the links, which basically takes you to the next bunch of non-linked text, and you can do it again and again and again, and it will do that. All of our screen reading commands are consistent irrespective of what supported application you're using, and they're all preceded by the word speak. All right, so you've got speak document, speak line, speak previous line, speak next line, and you get the drift. The only difference there is if you want to spell something out, and then you just use the word spell word, spell previous word, spell next word. So our screen reading commands are totally consistent throughout the whole interface. Now, I could, if I wanted to, sit here and copiously fill in this form. Okay, because I can say form is not on, and that does exactly what I'm expecting to do.
Heading level 5 about you.
Right, so what I'm going to do now is...
Title, last name, edit, address, edit, address, right. Edit, town, city, edit, county, edit, view, edit, country, combo box, set, combo box, select sex, gender, 1 of 3.
Right, with combo boxes, you use the command open the box, which essentially does an alt down arrow, and then you just use your move up one and move up or move down X number commands to navigate the combo box. So again, you're on a box, what do? You open the box. It's logical, it's a box, you open it. So natural language says, you say, open the box. Now, let me show you something else that's really clever there.
Day, combo box,
I'm going to a checkbox here.
Combo, email, edit, RN, edit, confirm, edit, telephone, edit, flat, edit, proof, combo, prefer, com, blank, checkbox not checked.
Right, okay.
I would like to receive check on effort.
Check.
Forms. I would like to receive further information promotional literature from RNIB checkbox checked.
Right, now, I'm going to uncheck that box.
Not checked.
Space. Okay, now, I'm now going to use my voice and show you how we deal with, show you just how context, on, boom, oh, yeah. Context sensitive this where am I and what can I do is. All right, bear with me. Listen to me. Where am I?
Where am I? You are on the checkbox. The current item is I would like to receive further information promotional literature from RNIB checkbox not checked.
Excellent. What can I do?
Understand. I do not understand.
What can I do?
I do not understand.
What can I do?
I do not understand.
What can I do?
I do not understand.
Stop listening.
I do not understand.
Shift F11. I would like to receive further information.
Okay. What should have happened there is when I said, what can I do, it would tell me that I'm on a checkbox, it would tell me the title of the checkbox, and then it would say, and the checkbox is currently not checked. So it's watching for looking specifically at that checkbox. So it would say, the checkbox is currently not checked, to check the box, say, check the box. I don't know any other technology that on the internet, give, or anywhere for that matter, gives you that sort of context-sensitive guidance as you walk through specific controls within an application. And incidentally, when you're in forms mode, the way you navigate is by using the command next control or previous control. Now, we're looking at changing that. We want to find a more natural way to express next control and previous control. The difficulty we're having with it is that if you start to use something that's too natural, especially in something like the internet, where you could be saying absolutely anything, the chances of misrecognition are reasonably high. And so right now we're with next control and previous control because that's what we get the most consistent results from. And it's also a two-word phrase, which in our experience, people with even fairly severe speech impediments can actually say quite easily. Again, we try to be really careful in the design of our natural language screen reading commands and natural language navigational commands on the basis of our experience of people who have difficulty formulating sentences and phrases and words, to go for combinations of sentences, phrases and words which most people would be able to say without too much difficulty. But again, as trainers in this field, the crucial thing to bear in mind is that the great thing about this interface, this JSA professional-based interface, is that it's a Dragon professional-based product. And so if you need to change a command to make it more pronounceable by somebody or to fit, to make it more akin to their natural vocabulary or whatever, it's quite easy to do that. Okay, Now,
step four, local
I showed you before the concept of our interactive help system by pressing Control, Shift, and H. We have a voice way, of a verbal way, of launching that help system. And if you want help, what do you say?
Help.
Well, you say, please help.
Oh, please help. That's right, you guys are...
Ah, since you were super polite, you see.
Two-word command.
Yeah, that's exactly right, mate. It's a two-word command, and again...
Right.
That's how most of our command structure is based. They're two-word commands that are based on things that people would logically say. All right? Similarly, to launch our contact front end in Microsoft Outlook, you say store contact, and it does it. It takes you into a little form, which is just a three-step form that you can that you can fill in. And equally, I showed you before that if I wanted to know the condition of my microphone with the keyboard, I press Control Windows M with my voice, check microphone. Check mic, oh, hang on, I switched the mic off manually, didn't I? Bear with me.
Term, enter, context, mip, enter, leaving, mip.
Check microphone.
Check microphone.
Microphone on.
Stop listening.
Stop reading.
Stop listening. Check microphone.
Microphone off.
And if I'm not sure if the computer's got Dragon loaded, listen to me. Check computer. Oh, sorry. Stop listening. Stop listening. Check computer.
The computer is ready for you to talk to it.
That's quite important. And I'll tell you the reason we've done that. Because one of the things that people often have difficulty with is knowing whether their voice profile is loaded or not. Mm-hmm. And so by using the command check computer, that sets everything up for you. You don't have to do it, but it ensures that everything's set up properly.
But if Dragon wasn't loaded, how would that command work?
Well, it wouldn't, would it? Because you couldn't speak to the computer. If Dragon isn't loaded, you can't speak to the computer.
Right.
Can I talk to you, if you just allow me a couple minutes of your time to talk to you about Braille? Braille is a crucially important way that we as visually impaired people communicate with our computers if we're Braillists. And in our experience, there are quite a number of people out there who don't have the manual dexterity to be able to effectively manipulate a Braille display around the screen. And so what we've done is we basically represented all of the focus Braille display commands as voice-based commands. So, for example, I have a client who can only use her two index fingers. So she's quite happy to read Braille, but the whiz wheel she can't manage. You know, the navigation keys, you know, she can push occasionally, but she just can't manage. And, you know, she doesn't want to be taking her index finger off the Braille display, because the whole concept of the power Braille and the focus, and to be honest, the great concept about Freedom Scientific Braille displays is that you stay in constant contact with the dots whilst at the same time being able to manipulate a display around the screen. Well, with your voice, you can do the same thing. So you can say pan left, you can say pan right. So you say Braille left, Braille right, Braille to top, Braille to bottom. You can turn your grade 2 off by saying grade 2 off, grade 2 on. So all of the commands that you can do with your hands with the focus, we have represented as voice-based commands. With JSafe Pro, the cosmetics of the package are the same pretty much as JSafe Standard. The difference is that you don't get Dragon Preferred, you get Dragon Pro. And obviously the manual is different because it's much more elaborate, much longer, because it's giving you a whole lot of natural language-based commands. There's a lot more to JSafe Pro. There's a lot more things that you can do that I don't have time to show you today. I've mentioned before about creating bookmarks on websites. You can create blocks of text and move the text around without having to select the text. So we've had a situation where you can actually put a load of text in a block without actually having to select it, and then you can copy that block. So say, for example, I wanted to email somebody my dual serial number, but I could just make a block of that and then basically just say copy block, and it would stick it wherever my focus was. So there's an awful lot more to JSafe. But obviously the purpose of today's presentation is to introduce you to some of the central concepts which we believe to be not mind-blowing, but actually quite revolutionary in the way that people want to naturally interact with their computers. Because at the end of the day, folks, we're talking about a two-pronged relationship here. We're talking about a relationship between a computer and a human being, not a computer and a robot. And I think that, you know, where a lot of assistive technology has gone wrong in the past is that they make the assumption that we're actually not human beings. We're just sort of microcosms of robots, and we want to speak computer speak. What we've tried to do here is say, look, we want to make a naturally language-based interface here so that somebody can speak to a computer in a natural way and get vocabulary back, which is akin to their natural vocabulary. Right now, we have just this week finalized our US distributor, and we're in the process of basically getting our US and Canadian distribution network up and running. And that will be so from the middle of April. So we will have a formal US and Canadian distribution network for both JSA Pro and JSA Standard by the middle of April.
Who's the US distributor?
I'm not allowed to disclose that right now. Right now, we don't have a US prize for JSA Pro. We have a British prize, but not a US prize. And I'm in discussions with our distributor about that. We've had an informal inlet into the US through BA Software in New York for JSA Standard over the past 6 months. And he's been pricing JSA Standard, bundling it with Preferred at $475. I would hope that when we formally launch Standard in April, the price tag for Standard will be around that sort of mark. But as far as Pro is concerned, don't know yet. Keep checking our website. And as soon as we announce the US distributor, obviously at the same time we'll make sure that we announce prices too.
Terry, I don't mean to put you on the spot, and I want to say to start with, I'm very impressed with what you've done. The parts that I was unimpressed with was actually the accuracy of the recognition, which you have no control over, I realize. So just, is this a computer that you have actively trained on, and do you attribute it to the caliber of the room, or are there other factors, and how consistent will your mileage be as long as you're in a predictable location?
Okay, excellent question. This is a very new voice profile. I intentionally didn't want to use a voice profile that I'd used for months and months and months and was getting 99% accuracy, because that isn't the real world, and that's not the experience people get in the first place when they start using the technology. However, back in my room, using this voice profile, I'm dictating with about 95% accuracy. So I think a lot of it is to do with electrostatic interference and stuff, and which you always get in rooms such as this when you're doing things such as this.
If I may, because I've used Dragon quite extensively, and what I noticed is that in the audio settings in your box, you were redlining a lot, and that has to do with the audio setup
Absolutely.
Of the program.
Right.
And so if Terry would have had an opportunity to run an audio check, which allows the system to essentially
calibrate,
condition itself to the room, the environment, and the echoes off the walls and whatnot, the microphone settings become far more accurate, and so those...
so then you don't need to redo your profile for a room.
No. It's just a simple 30-second check.
It's a simple two-step process. Again, we walk you through that with the JSA key. And you're quite right. I mean, had I had a chance to do that this morning and done that, then the recognition we would have got would have been far superior.
Terry, just a really quick question concerning the Braille. When I'm stepping through the dialogue box, as you did, and it tells you up arrow 6 times or whatever, does that appear in Braille as well?
Yes. What we do in that setup multi-page dialog box is we automatically switch the Braille display into structured mode so that we can basically get those messages onto the Braille display.
Oh, okay.
Okay. This product's come about because we've listened to what people out there have told us and listened to what they want to be able to do.
That's all from Main Menu this week. A very special thanks to Marlena Lieberg for filing that report from CSUN 2004.